More to Life is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
Today on More to Life, and now for something completely different. Are you ready to make some changes in your life or relationships? We're going to help you succeed. Give us a call at 877-573-7825.
Everyone says they want to have a great marriage and family and personal life. Well, the theology of the body reveals how you can actually achieve it.
More to Life.
The happiest couples know how to say I do to each other every moment of every day.
Surprising, relevant, hopeful.
Angela, let's not just settle for stopping your son's behavior.
Exactly. Let's talk about the kind of young man you want to raise.
Practical, theology of the body-based answers for every part of your life.
God's original blueprint didn't include depression and anxiety.
Yeah, that's a human invention. God wants to set you free. Let's talk about making that happen.
The life you were meant to live through the theology of the body. More to Life.
Good morning, everyone. You are listening to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Dr. Greg Popchak.
And I'm Lisa Popchak.
And today on More to Life, our show is titled, And Now for Something Completely Different. Are you ready for something different in your life or relationships? Ready to make a change about in yourself, in your life, in your relationships? Do you feel like you keep tripping over the same personal struggles? Don't we all to some degree or another? But it gets tired after a while, and you want to make some changes there. Maybe you're tired of dealing with the same problems or arguments with someone you care about. Or you're wondering how to help someone you love make a change. Whatever the situation is, we want to help you take those next steps together and make that difference that will make a difference in your life. 877-573-7825 is the number to call with your questions if you're ready to make some change.
Well, this is, of course, timely, because whether you just feel like making a change as we begin to head into the spring months, or you're looking at this week and saying, oh my word, Ash Wednesday is this Wednesday. Exactly. And if you're thinking, well, oh my gosh, you know, Lent, I've got to do something for Lent. I've got to help the kids do something for Lent. Our family should do something for Lent. Really, this is a time where the church is inviting us to say, hey, let's make some changes. Let's make changes that are good for your soul, good for who you are, good for your family, whatever that is being put on your heart by the Holy Spirit. This is a time where grace abounds to be able to do that, but it's also something that we just have to deal with every single day. So whether you're motivated by kind of a spring cleaning or a Lenten renewal, or you're just being thrown into helping somebody else make change, or really realizing it's time for you to make a change in your relationships, in your personal life, in the way you're thinking about things, in the way you're relating to God, whatever those things are, there are ways to do that that will promote success at those things, real movement in those things, real changes without feeling like you're failing or struggling all the time. And then there are ways to say, I'd like to do that, or I'd like to help this person change, or I need to make a change in this area, but have them never happen. So it's really the way we go about doing this and accepting God's invitation to change that makes all the difference.
Well, that's absolutely right. And especially as we head into this season of Lent, you know, we're all kind of thinking about what might God want us to change? What changes would we like to see in our lives so that we can be more grace-filled people and that our relationships can be more godly as well? But I think that we can sometimes feel intimidated by the possibility of making those changes because... Well, you know, we've bumped our head into these things before. You know, once or twice we have encountered these problems or the areas of our life or relationships that we'd like to see some change in. And so you can kind of get to that place where you despair of being able to make the change. I wanted to kick off the show by talking about the difference between what psychologists call an internal locus of control and an external locus of control. So an internal locus of control is when you have the sense that I can respond effectively to whatever life throws at me. I might not know what I'm doing. I might not like everything that life throws at me, and some challenges may be harder to deal with than others. But I know that with God's grace and my good efforts, I can figure something out. And the most important thing is my response to the challenge, not the nature of the challenge itself. That's the attitude that somebody with an internal locus of control has.
Now, I want to put this very clearly. Having an internal locus of control does not mean that you don't trust in God, that you don't ask Him into it. I think a lot of folks who are very rightfully wanting to make sure that God is the center of their lives and the one who is controlling and helping them with any change that He would want them to make doesn't get shut out of it. It doesn't mean a me center.
No. In fact, if you are a healthy Christian person with an internal locus of control, what that means is that I am confident that God wants to work in me and through me and with me to help me respond to the challenges that life throws at me in a way that will be pleasing to God and help His will be done.
Yes, and okay. I wanted to make sure of that so people don't think it's all about the self.
No. An external locus of control, on the other hand, is the attitude that it's not my response to the challenges that matter, it's the nature of the challenge itself. There are either some challenges that are too big or all challenges that are too big. Whatever life throws at me is just too much, and the best I can hope to do is just sort of crawl up in a little ball and get through it the best I can and hope it kind of goes away. And if I could just figure out how to either make the people around me be different or wish that my life was different in some way, things would be better. But since I can't do that, I guess I just have to sort of suck it up.
And that can come from a lot of different things. It can come from having dealt with a lot that overwhelmed you when you were a child and you didn't have any control over
That's
anything
right.
because you were a child. It can come from dealing with things as you're trying to adult, even if you've been trying to do that for 60 or 70 years, that feel completely overwhelming and flood you emotionally. It can certainly come from the way we were raised. If our parents were always, I'll handle it, you're too young to deal with this, or it can be an ingrained message that perhaps they didn't even intend to give us, but it's there, so that it becomes our knee-jerk reaction
That's right.
when we have to deal with something. But it can be overcome. It's not one of those things where it's just, well, this is who I am, or this is how I was raised, so I have this way of dealing with it, and I'm just stuck.
That's right. That is the good news, that whether we have an internal or external locus of control is not something we're born with. It's something that we're taught. And if we have that less healthy locus of control, that external locus of control, where we sort of believe reactively that we're more of a victim of our circumstances, we can unlearn those things. Research consistently shows that people who train themselves to believe that their ability to respond to a challenge is more important than the nature of the challenge itself are, on the whole, more successful at achieving all manner of personal, relational, or occupational and life goals. So, especially as we head into this season of Lent, if there are certain changes that you're ready to make in your life or relationships, or you're looking to help somebody that you care about make some changes, and you're not sure where to start, either way, we are here for you on our show today titled, And Now for Something Completely Different. 877-573-7825.
That's 877-573-7825. And I have to say very quickly, for those who are still trying to say to themselves, well, does this work with God's plan for my life? The person that, as I pray through this, jumps out at me is Moses. Lord, I can't do this leading the people of Israel. I can't do this. I stutter. I'm not somebody that people easily follow. I can't do this. And God was like, yeah, but with me you can. So do this. And he, step by step, with God's grace, he did it and became, the leader of the people of Israel who led them out of slavery and did God's work. And so God can use us no matter what we think our initial reaction or nature is. We just have to be pliable in his hands and say, okay, I'm willing to make these changes.
Yeah, and I want to be clear on this. You know, people with an internal locus of control don't have any more idea of what they're doing than people with an external locus of control.
That's really important to note.
I mean, you know, life throws curveballs a million times a day, and nobody ever always knows what they're doing. But people
except
with
for
an
God, yeah.
Well, sure, but people with an internal locus of control say, you know, God's given me some tools and he's given me some grace, and with him I can figure it out. And that's all God asks of us, to roll up our sleeves and keep at it with his grace and our good effort and our willingness to be humble enough to learn new things. And that's what we're all here to do, to help each other learn some new things so we can approach those problems with new insights, new tools, and new angles. 877-573-7825. Let's take our concerns to the Lord, and then we'll start taking your calls. In the name of the Father,
Father and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen. Lord Jesus Christ, we thank you for the grace that you give us that builds on our nature and makes change possible, change of all kinds. Because, Lord, especially as we enter into this season of Lent and confront all the parts of our lives that don't work the way we would like them to, or in ways that give you glory, we can sometimes become overwhelmed or intimidated by the changes that we know we need to make, that we know we're being called to make, but somehow aren't sure we have the power to make. Help us to remember that it is in our weakness that you are glorified, that your power is made perfect. Work in us and with us and through us to make the changes in our life and relationships that need to be made so that your love and grace and power can be made manifest in our lives, and so the whole world can be drawn to you through what they see you doing in us. We ask all of this through the intercession of the Blessed Virgin Mary, and in the name of the
Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Pope St. John Paul the Great.
Pray for us.
And, you know, before we take that first call, I just want to share, you know, coming at this from the perspective of the theology of the body especially, we're reminded that, you know, God does love us, certainly, for who we are. But he loves us too much to let us stay that way, right?
Well, isn't that what Lent is all about, as we're ramping up for that?
That's right. And he wants us to be able to receive that love and be changed, not just in our external behavior, but from the inside of our heart out. You know, it's what Pope John Paul used to talk about, the difference between having an ethic, where we just sort of went through the motions of doing the right thing, versus an ethos of having our hearts really transformed so that all the good things we did for God and others, and ourselves for that matter, came from a genuine place of godly love. Well, that sounds good to you? We want to help you make it happen. Let's find the next steps together in making those changes at 877-573-7825.
Let's talk now with Audrey, who's listening to EWTN Radio in Austin, Texas, on Guadalupe Radio Network.
Hi there, Audrey. Welcome to More to Life. What's going on?
Hi.
Audrey, are you with us? There you are. Hi. What can we do for you today?
So I am in a marriage. We've been married almost 15 years, and I've gone to counseling. We've tried to go to counseling together, but he doesn't want to have anything to do with it, says he's the type of person that doesn't need counseling. And so I've tried to learn a bunch of tools to deal with our disputes, but he seems to be quite a narcissist. When it comes to our fight, he demands an apology from me, and I'm not sure how to deal with that. And I feel like our relationship is on this downward roller coaster. It gets good for a little bit, and then it gets worse, and then good for a little bit, and then worse. And I'm just tired of it, and I don't know what to do.
All right, so I want to start with you saying that you tried to get some counseling together. Have you done any kind of work on your own with this?
Yes, I have. I have been to counseling myself for a couple of years, and then we also went as a couple. We went a few times, but
marital counseling probably isn't going to work in your situation, because here's the thing: with somebody like your husband, it's not that he doesn't need it; it's that the relationship works for him. Right? He, as far as he's concerned, it doesn't matter whether you're happy or not, as long as he gets his way. And he's got tools at his disposal that he's willing to use to get his way consistently. Does that sound familiar?
Yes.
Yeah. So yeah. He's not invested in making any kind of change, because all he has to do is keep doing what he's doing for you to be able to for him to get what he wants from you. So the reason I asked about the individual counseling is because the only way to make a change in a situation like this is for you to learn how to set effective boundaries with him that sort of thwart those techniques that he uses to overpower you. Are you learning how to do that in the individual counseling?
Yes, I feel like I learned some really good techniques. I haven't been going anymore because of scheduling and stuff. I went for about 2 years, and I mm-hmm. listen to you guys all the time. I read a bunch of books, so I'm trying to, I feel like I learned.
So, give me an example of a limit that you're trying to. Give me an example of a boundary you're trying to set with him, and what's happening there.
Okay, so for example, it's Sunday morning. We're getting ready for church, or me and the kids are, but he's sleeping in late, and he doesn't want me to wake him up. So, but at some point, I'm like, okay, hey, we're going to mass. We got to get ready and go. And he says he gets mad at the way I wake him up, which that day actually my daughter woke him up. So I said, well, I didn't even wake you up this morning. Did you notice? No. Okay. So he's mad, and he also uses tobacco. So I feel like that's another thing that.
Well, let's focus on one thing at a time. So you're getting him up in the morning on Sunday. Does he want to go to church, or at least he says he wants to go to church?
Well, I feel like he only goes, quote unquote, for me kind of thing, or for the kids. So he decides, whether he's going to go or not. I guess last minute or something. So this last time, he's standing at the kitchen counter in his PJs. It's 10 minutes till. Me and the kids are running out the door trying to get to church on time. And he decides he's going to go to church. As we're getting into the car, he goes and takes a shower. And at this point, I said, I don't think he's going. In my mind, I'm thinking he was mad at me this morning for the way I woke him up. So he's not going to go, because for the last 4 times he's
right.
gone. So we take off and we go to church. And of course, now he's mad because, I left him. But it's
no, good for you.
Sunday
I'm glad you went. So what happens? So you come home from church. He's mad at you for leaving. How do you handle that? Walk me through that.
Well, he'll go to work all day long, and then I don't see him. And then he goes upstairs and sleeps at night. And then in the morning, he takes the kids, and he only communicates through the kids to me now.
All right. So what's the follow through?
Yeah, so
I guess what I'm trying to ask you. Where's the follow through with him? Mm-hmm. So he's upset. You come home from church. He's mad at you. How do you follow through on that?
Well, we texted a little bit. So I said, I thought you weren't going to go. You were in your PJs.
Okay, so you're defending. That's the problem. You're defending yourself. Okay, so So when I talk about needing to set limits, that's what I mean. Okay, so he behaved abominably. He was passive aggressive and childish and nasty to you that whole time. So in the face of that kind of thing, what ultimately needs to happen is you need to be able to confront him and say, listen, you have no business being angry with me. You're behaving childishly. And I deserve better from my husband, and you deserve better from yourself. And when you're ready to apologize, you can come and find me and let me know. Now, I know that he'll die before he'll apologize, but you have to get yourself to the place where, in a healthy relationship, okay, what happens is somebody does something like that, and they got a chip on their shoulder, and their spouse looks at him and says, hey, look, I love you. You need to knock this off. And they go, oh, gosh, I'm sorry. And you deal with it. Your husband is too narcissistic to do that. So what you have to do is draw a line in the sand where you're saying, look, I love you, but this was childish, and I'm not going to take it from you. So when you're ready to act like a grown-up and talk to me like a grown-up and deal with this and figure out how we're going to handle next Sunday better, you come find me. But until then, you're not a safe person to have a conversation with. Now, that's going to drive him crazy. And then he's going to text you about, you said he doesn't talk to you, he talks to you with your kids, but he texts you or whatever. When he texts you, you write back and say, I'd love to answer this question, but until you're ready to talk to me about your behavior last Sunday and work with me about how this is going to be different next Sunday and apologize for me for the way you behaved, you're not a safe person to have this discussion with. And at first you're going to think, well, he doesn't want to talk to me anyway, but it's going to drive him crazy because he wants to make sure that you've got his message. And you're not accepting the packages he's trying to deliver if you're using the technique that I'm offering to you here. Now, I don't suspect you're going to be able to follow through with this on your own. You're going to need support. So either work with the counselor you were working with before or work with us for the Pastoral Solutions Institute. But the point is the relationship isn't going to change until you learn to set a clear, consistent, effective boundary with him so that he realizes the relationship is changing whether he wants it to or not. And that's the only way he's going to begin to accept any kind of influence from you or the possibility that things could change. I'm going to give you two resources here. The first is a book by Patricia Evans called The Verbally Abusive Relationship, because I do believe that that is what you are in. She tends to be a little more pessimistic about the ability to turn these relationships around than I am, but she gives you a lot of good strategies for being able to kind of diffuse these verbally abusive bombs that your husband's throwing at you. The other book is God Help Me, These People Are Driving Me Nuts, Making Peace with Difficult People. It's our book that talks about how to set boundaries in a Christian way that allows you to insulate yourself from the drama while leaving open the possibility of transforming the relationship. So those two books, The Verbally Abusive Relationship by Patricia Evans and our resource, God Help Me, These People Are Driving Me Nuts. If you'd like to learn more about our telecounseling practice, you can check it out at CatholicCounselors.com. And with that, I got to go to break. When we come back, in addition to taking your calls about making change in your life for relationships, we'll be joined by John and Claire Grabowski, who are going to be talking with us about making changes in the springtime of the church, coming up here in a couple of days. Stick around for that. A whole lot more when More to Life continues after the break.
This program is brought to you in part by Charity Mobile, a proud partner of Ave Maria Radio for over 15 years. Charity Mobile is the pro-life cell phone company and has sent nearly $2 million to thousands of pro-life charities. 4G LTE coverage is available nationwide, and 5% of your monthly plan price goes to your favorite pro-life charity. A video introduction is available at CharityMobile.com. Charity Mobile, everyday living, effortless giving. CharityMobile.com.
Started drinking beer on Saturday nights, sleeping in on Sunday mornings, missing Mass, and it just became a pattern and continued. Without God, I don't know where I'd be right now. I know the importance of the Eucharist. I know the importance of the sacraments that I didn't know at a young age. I follow God's will because my desire is to get to heaven. Our lives are rich and full by being members of the church.
If you've been away from the Catholic Church, visit CatholicsComeHome.org.
Hi, everybody. Dr. Ray here. My newest book, Raising Upright Kids in an Upside Down World, help you stand strong against a culture no longer on your side to identify all of the forces trying to misshape your child. To help you stand strong against those forces, to resist them, to recognize them so you can raise the kind of kid you wish to raise. You can get the new book at AveMariaRadio.net. That is AveMariaRadio.net.
More to Life is underwritten by the following nonprofit organization. Real Estate for Life. Buying or selling your home or business property? Real Estate for Life can connect you to one of 900 pro-life real estate agents around the world. When Real Estate for Life receives a referral fee, they donate 80% of the referral check to Ave Maria Radio and Students for Life. More information at realestateforlife.org or 877-LIFE-US1. That's realestateforlife.org.
Welcome back to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popchak.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak. In this season of approaching Lent, it's time to make some changes on our show titled, And Now for Something Completely Different. Joining us right now, Dr. John Grabowski and his wife Claire Grabowski. They have served on the Pontifical Council for the Family together. They are the authors of Raising Catholic Kids for Their Vocations. And they're here to talk to us today about making changes in this season of the church. Hey, guys, welcome to More to Life.
Good morning, Greg and Lisa. Good to be here.
Well, it's great to have you both with us. So, John, let's start with you and set this up a little bit, if you could. You know, we're coming into Lent here in a couple of days, the springtime of the church. What does that mean to us in terms of, you know, our need to make change or reflect on the changes that God wants to make in us?
Well, what the season can remind us of is that the real power to make change in ourselves and our relationships doesn't come from within us. It comes from God and His grace, as St. Augustine said to Pelagius all those centuries ago. The Church recommends three different kinds of practices that we can use to draw on to tap into this season of grace, prayer, fasting, and almsgiving. So why not, as a couple, pick one or two practices and try to do them together for Lent?
I love this idea, because so often we get very isolated in taking on, you know, our Lenten activities. Claire, start us off with prayer. What can couples do to pray more together?
Lent is a wonderful time to start this. And, you know, if you're not praying with your spouse yet, you could begin by doing morning prayer together or night prayer. If you already have a relationship of prayer with your spouse, maybe add to it. You can, you know, I want to do a concrete whole hour of adoration each week, and John and I are going to try to do this together. Or go to Mass together extra once a week. There's so many different ways you can add to your prayer. A really important one would be doing an examination of conscience and repenting together. That's something that the Church recommends to us. And it's great for our spiritual lives and our relationship as a couple. That way we don't carry our hurts and our grudges to bed with us, but we go to bed, you know, with God on our mind and with forgiveness on our mind.
John, let's talk about a little fasting. How can couples help each other with that discipline of fasting?
Sure. I mean, normally when we think of fasting, we just think of food. And Lent is a good time to eat more simply, but we could also think about fasting from television together as a family, or fasting from social media, and then repurposing some of that time for the prayer that Claire's talking about, or maybe a little bit more spiritual reading during Lent.
You know, I like the idea that you are approaching Lent as a couple, that it's not just an individual thing. And I just want to encourage all the married couples out there and families to really think about, how can you approach this season as a domestic church, as a couple, as a family, instead of just individuals. And guys, thank you so much for being with us. I really encourage people to pick up your new book, Raising Catholic Kids for Their Vocations. And when we come back, taking more of your calls at 877-573-7825 about making change in your life or relationships. Stick around for more to Life.
Where has the Church reached perfection? In the person of the Blessed Mother, according to the Catholic Catechism, who is without spot or wrinkle. We, the faithful, are still striving to conquer sin and increase in holiness. The word Catholic means universal. The Church is Catholic in a double sense. First, the Church is Catholic because Christ is present in her. Where there is Christ Jesus, there is the Church, says the Catechism. From him, she receives the fullness of the means of salvation, correct and complete confession of faith, full sacramental life, and ordained ministry in apostolic succession. Secondly, the Church is Catholic because she has been sent by Christ to the whole human race. In the beginning, God made human nature one and has decreed that all his children who were scattered should finally be gathered together as one. This is Peggy Stanton, and this has been the Order of Malta's Minute with the Catechism.
Father Benedict Groeschel.
In the Church, we speak of seven gifts: wisdom, understanding, counsel, knowledge, loyalty, courage, and reverence or fear of the Lord. When I speak about the gifts of the Holy Spirit, and these gifts come, they give you the ability to go beyond your strength. If you're struggling to be a good person, a good member of your religion, you know it's a struggle. And you don't always make it. I've been at it many, many decades, and I still struggle and trip and fall and have holes in my socks. Struggling to be a good person, something that we need help at. And this help comes to us by these gifts of the Holy Spirit.
EWTN. Live truth. Live Catholic.
Hi, I'm Lisa Popcheck. New parents all have the same question. How do we get this new baby that we just made grow up to be a child who loves God? The answer lies in you. A child's capacity to trust God is learned at a very early age and is modeled after her ability to trust you. Little things such as how long your child cries before you respond to her could impact the degree to which your child is capable of trusting God and others later. If you're worried about your child's spiritual formation, remember that holiness and a love for God is learned first at home. What can you do today to demonstrate the love of God for your child? Well, you could dive a little deeper into self-donation. The little decisions you make now will have a lasting impact on how much your child trusts and loves God in the future. For more Catholic parenting tips, visit moretoliferadio.com.
Welcome back, folks. You are listening to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Dr. Greg Popchak.
I'm Lisa Popchak.
And today our show is titled, And Now for Something Completely Different, as we look at making changes in our lives and relationships, or supporting the people we love in making changes in their life or relationships. Do you feel like you keep tripping over the same personal struggles, whatever they might be? Maybe they're emotional issues. Maybe they're, you know, certain habits that you want to get a handle on, or just, you know, certain challenges that you keep facing that you'd like to be rid of already. Or maybe you're talking about something going on in your relationship where you're just tired of having the same argument or running into the same disagreement, not sure how to get your needs met and the other person's need met too. Or for that matter, it's somebody that you love who is struggling with making change and you're not sure how to support them. Well, we are here to help on our show today about making change, especially as we head into the Lenten season coming up on Wednesday. Our number here is 877-573-7825. That's 877-573-7825. Let's talk about making those changes.
Well, and I want to add to that, as we head into the Lenten season, you know, often we get bogged down and we think, well, Lent is about suffering, so I'll just take this awful relationship or this terrible thing I'm going through or this doldrums that I'm in and I'll just offer it up and just live with it because that's carrying my cross. That's not carrying a cross. Carrying your cross is being active. You know, Jesus didn't stand in one place with his cross. He carried it every step of the way to get to the goal that he had, which was to give himself entirely for us, conquer death, and rise again. And we need to make those steps, those changes in our lives every day, but especially during the Lenten season, and actively participate in our becoming holier and better and making those changes in the world. And sometimes the world is our own hearts, our own lives, our own relationships that God wants us to make. So if you're looking for those ways to become actively involved in being the person God wants you to be and helping others be the people God wants them to be, we're here to give you the tools you need for your situations today. 877-573-7825. That's 877-573-7825.
I want to share a tip for making change, one of our More to Life hacks, and that's mind your steps. You know, when we feel stuck, a lot of times it's because we can't think of the one big thing that we need to do to resolve a problem or make a change once and for all. Thing is, though, most complicated problems really can't be solved that way. And the good news is, we don't have to be able to solve these big problems in one fell swoop in order for them to get resolved. All we've got to do is identify the next graceful step we can take. Remember, just as Jesus multiplied the loaves and the fish, he can multiply our tiniest efforts to create the changes that we're seeking. Leave the big picture to God. But for now, just ask yourself, what's one small, positive, graceful change I can make right now, or at least today, to be able to lean into the change that God wants me to make? Put all your energy into making that tiny thing, doing that tiny step, and then the next one, and the next one, and trust that God will lead you step by step to the freedom from this challenge that you're seeking by multiplying your efforts just like he multiplied the loaves and the fish.
Yeah, and one of the important tips to that, of course, is that interwoven in each tiny step is saying, okay, what God do you want me to do next? And bringing him into it, thanking him for the success of making that one tiny step. But don't be afraid to break things down. Satan always wants to say, oh, do that tomorrow in our ear. He always wants to say, oh, it's too big for you in our ear, so that he gets us to postpone or think we can't. But if we take those tiny little steps, those little yeses to God, yes, I can do this one thing, Lord, we can begin to allow his grace in to let us make those changes that he's putting on our hearts, whether they're in our relationships, our spiritual lives, our physical lives, whatever those are that are on your heart, we can help you make them happen today on More to Life. 877-573-7825. That's 877-573-7825.
What are those things that you'd like to see changed in your life or your relationships? Whether you've been tripping over those same personal or emotional struggles, you're tired of dealing with the same problems or arguments with someone you care about, or you want to more effectively help someone you love in making important changes in their life because, you know, everything you do kind of seems to make things worse for them, you know, where they don't listen to you, and they keep coming back and complaining about the same things, you're kind of sick of hearing about it.
Their stuff keeps spewing all over your stuff, and yeah. You just need them to make those changes now.
877-573-7825 is the number. That's 877-573-7825. We've got a good question here, Lisa.
We do. Stephen from Ann Arbor, Michigan, who's listening on Ave Maria Radio, messaged us earlier, Greg, and he said, in light of Lent beginning this week, I'm wondering if I should require a change in my family. I'm the youngest of seven kids. And when I was a junior in high school, my older brother fell in with a bad crowd. My parents kicked him out and stopped speaking to him. They did it not only because of his behavior, but also because they wanted to send a firm message to me and my siblings. But now we're grown. I'm 24, and I feel wrong about being divided as a family. I know my parents meant well, and they were really trying hard to raise us, and they did do a great job. But now I'm feeling that as adults, it might be right to bring reconciliation to the family, especially as Lent begins. Should I just honor my parents' choice, or should I try talking to my brother and see if we could bring healing to the family? I'm just not sure what I should do, and I don't want to cause more division. Thanks for any guidance you can give, Stephen in Ann Arbor.
Stephen, thank you so much for the question. Setting limits can be important, but when we set limits, we always have to keep an eye on reconciliation. We always have to kind of keep an eye on the point of setting those limits. It is legitimate, of course, to cut some people out of our lives for certain reasons. For example, if their behavior is destructive to us, right? If it's undermining our faith, or in your parents' case, your their children's faith. If supporting that person, is ending up leading them in a path of personal self-destruction. For example, if they're a drug addict or an alcoholic.
In the situation where you imply that's the kind of thing that's going on with your brother.
So setting limits can be very important in those cases. But even when we're setting limits, we have to keep our eye on the ultimate goal, which is the possibility of reconciliation. So anytime we set a limit, we ought to try to do it in a way that says, look, I can't support you in these ways, but I could support you in these ways. Or I can't accept, I can only have you around if I can see you doing X, Y, and Z. So let's, for the sake of argument, let's say if he's an alcoholic and you're saying, that he was taking the family money or the family support and using it to drink more, then you might say, we would love for you to be able to be around, but until you're in a program, and working to maintain sobriety and do the things that healthy people do, we can't support the way you're living right now. So you're giving him a way back, right, whenever you set a limit like that. It sounds like it's been several years, almost 7 years.
It is, yes. He was in junior high, and now he's 24, so it's been several years.
And the limit, I don't know if the limit's worked or not. You haven't said that. So I want you to take that to prayer, right? Did your folks give him a way out, give him a way back? If they did, is he working that way back? If not, then reaching out to him at this point might not be effective. Okay. On the other hand, if your folks did not give him a way back, they just said, look, we can't support your behavior, we're just done with you, then that might indicate that it's time to reach out again and sort of see where things are. And you could do that on your own. Now, you know, you don't, as a 24-year-old man, you know, who has his own prayer life and his own relationship with his brother, you can make this decision to do what you genuinely believe is best for your relationship with your brother and your relationship with the larger family, even if it's different from what your parents want. You know, as adults, we don't owe our parents obedience. We owe them respect, and we need to honor them. But that doesn't necessarily mean that we do have we always do what they say. So I'm giving you some principles to take to prayer so that you can discern the best way forward. So just to recap as I'm wrapping this up, if your folks set a limit but also kind of said, you know, and we are withholding support until we see these things from you, you want to look and say, is he doing those things? Because if you get in the way, then that could actually be destructive to your brother. It's not even about dishonoring your parents. It would be destructive to your brother.
And it gives you a real litmus test of whether this is you just desperately wanting a whole family that gets along. We all want that desperately. We want perfect parents. We want great loving siblings. We ache for that. But this will help you discern whether it's just that ache in your heart, but that it can't happen because your brother's really living a life that is destructive to the rest of the family and to himself. Or if this is you saying, all right, my folks have gotten stuck in this pattern. They didn't really leave a crack in the door for him to come back through, but I can tell from social media, what I've heard from his friends, whatever that is, that he's changed up his life. He's living differently, but he's just not coming back because of feeling wounded by my parents' choice. But I think based on the fact that he's living differently, we could reconcile here. So it will give you a chance to really say, is this a good thing, a holy thing, or is this something that's actually a temptation to bring destruction to my brother's life and maybe to our family and overall?
All right, Stephen, thank you so much for the question, though, and I'm glad that you're really praying through this, because you know, it's important to not just cut people off. First of all, unless we have really, not just good reasons, but reasons that are actually intending to work for their good. And secondly, it's important to not just cut people off and not periodically revisit that decision and take it to prayer, because, you know, we were created for communion. And so even though in Matthew 18, Jesus says it's okay to shake the dust from our feet in certain situations and say, okay, this relationship isn't going to be healed this side of heaven. That's an acceptable choice for Christians. It's a serious choice, and it's good to prayerfully reflect on those decisions periodically just to make sure that we want to keep going down that same path. All right, well, we are taking your calls about making change in your life or relationships at 877-573-7825. What things would you like to see changed about yourself, your life, or your relationships? Are you tired of tripping over the same personal or emotional struggles, of dealing with the same arguments or problems or conflicts in those relationships with the people you care about? Or are you looking to figure out how to support somebody else in the change that they're making? Give us a call at 877-573-7825. As we head out to our break, it's time for our verse of the day, which comes to us from 2 Chronicles 15:7.
But as for you, be strong and do not give up, for your work will be rewarded. 2 Chronicles 15:7.
You know, I like that scripture a lot because it reminds us that God wants us to work toward these things. And you know, I'm going to editorialize here just a minute before we head out to the break, because this is important. Because every once in a while, we'll get questions from people who say, "Well, you know, well, if I have to do all the work, how come I have to pray?"
Right? Yeah,
that's a fair question. God doesn't, in most cases, do it all for us any more than your parents did your homework for you if they were good parents. They didn't just say, throw the book at you and say, get your work done. They sat with you and did the work with you. They asked you questions. They gave you support. They encouraged you. They coached you so that you could be competent and develop skills. And God's the same way. You know, God's a good father who's not going to do your homework for you, but he will sit with you and encourage you and ask you questions and highlight certain things that help you figure it out. And that's what prayer is for. It's and every once in a while, yeah, you know, that miracle comes through because you can't do it on your own at all. And you really need God to do it for you. But 9 times out of 10, we can do it. We just need God to hold our hand while we do it. And that's what prayer is all about, giving us the grace, the strength, the support, the encouragement, the all of it that we need to become those strong, healthy, whole, healed, godly people. So it does take both prayer and our good effort to make these changes work. So I love this verse from Chronicles. It says, "But as for you, be strong and do not give up, for your work will be rewarded." I mean, especially when it's united with God's grace. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we are continuing to take your calls about making change in your life and relationships or supporting other people in the changes they're trying to make. Give us a call at 877-573-7825. Again, that number, 877-573-7825. More to Life. We'll be back right after the break.
Would you get on a plane that doesn't have a pilot? Investing in passive index mutual funds may present the same issue. The Ave Maria Mutual Funds are actively managed by seasoned investment professionals to help you meet your investment goals in a morally responsible way. Ave Maria funds are managed to conform to pro-life and pro-family values. Long-term investors could invest in the no-load Ave Maria Mutual Fund. You can learn more about the Ave Maria Mutual Funds at 866-AVE-MARIA or visit AveMariaFunds.com.
Christ is the answer, with Father John Ricardo.
Let us strive to know the Lord. Quick question to you and me right now. Is that what you and I are doing every single day? When you and I wake up every day, do we strive to know Jesus or not? In the Old Testament, in the same book of Hosea, a little bit later on, it's in chapter 14, the Lord says through the prophet, "My people perish." Or in another translation, "My people are being destroyed because of a lack of knowledge." Not a lack of data. We got tons of data. Not a lack of information. We got a lot of information. Not just about things that are happening in the world. We got a lot of data, a lot of knowledge, a lot of information about God. But not a lot of intimacy with God. Not a lot of relationship with God. Not a lot of friendship. That's the cry of God's heart. God wants to give himself to us in the incredible gift of friendship, and we're not taking advantage of it.
If you believe in the power of prayer, Ave Maria Radio invites you to look at their website to submit a prayer request at AveMariaRadio.net. Your prayer requests are shared with hundreds at the Dominican Sisters of Mary, Mother of the Eucharist, the Servants of God's Love, the Monastery of the Blessed Sacrament Cloistered Nuns, the Family of Faith Apostolate, and the staff of Ave Maria Radio. Just go to AveMariaRadio.net and click on the Community tab to submit your prayer request today.
Want more tips for living a more joyful, abundant life through the gift of the theology of the body?
Well, and follow us on Facebook at More to Life with Dr. Greg and Lisa, and on Twitter and Instagram at Catholic Counselors. We'll see you there.
Welcome back to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popchak.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak, and we are talking about making change today on our show titled, "And Now for Something Completely Different." Are you ready to make some changes in your life? Ready to make, see those differences happening in your life that make a real difference in the way you feel about your feelings, your relationship with God and others? Let's talk it out. What are those changes you want to see happening in your life or relationships? 877-573-7825. Got a great question right here.
We do. This comes from Elizabeth, who's listening to EWTN Radio in Texas on Guadalupe Radio. She said, "I've been dating a guy for almost a year. He is devoutly Catholic, and that is not easy to find." And she put "not" in big capital letters. She said, "But I'm beginning to see that everything goes his way, everything we do. He works up so much enthusiasm that everybody, especially me, are expected to go along with it and with equal enthusiasm. He's not a bad guy. The stuff he does and likes to do are usually pretty fun. But I'm beginning to feel like he never looks up to see what I want
And this is starting to feel like it's a possible warning sign in the relationship for me. I don't know what to do because, again, he's a good Catholic guy, but it just feels a little odd. What should I do? And that's Elizabeth in
Texas. Elizabeth is kind of wondering whether she should give up a relationship for Lent this year.
Give up a relationship for Lent with a good Catholic guy, which is really hard to find when you're a single Catholic girl.
So I'm going to make a distinction here between a devout Catholic guy and a good Catholic guy.
Ooh, everybody's listening.
Well, look, I mean, you know, wherever he's at, I mean, it's good that you know, we're all called to conversion and we're all at different places in that. And being devout is an important first step in that process of conversion. But we need to see that conversion happening in a person's life, in the person's heart, in their ability to be loving. And a big part of being loving is listening. And so my question to you, I guess, or my suggestion to you,
Elizabeth,
is that the first thing you need to do is go and talk to him about this. She doesn't say whether she's done that or not.
That's a good point.
And to say, listen, I really love your passion, and I love how excited you get about things, but I sometimes feel like you get so caught up in doing what you want to do that you don't leave any room for me. And that makes me really feel kind of sad and lonely. And I'd like to be around you. I like to be in this relationship, but I'd actually like to be in this relationship instead of just going along with what you decide to do. So, you know, can we work out some ways for me to be able to have more of a say in all of this, or, you know, are you just looking for somebody to come along for the ride? Because if that's the case, I'm not that person. Right. And that'll be your decision, how he responds to that. You know, if he says, you know, gosh, I didn't see that, I'm really sorry, you know, of course I want your opinion, and then he follows through on it. It's not so much what he says, it's what he does.
That is a very important point. It can't just be a good reaction the first time, although that's the first step to say, okay, maybe there's some room in this for me. But it's really, does he stop and say, hey, what do you want to do this weekend? Or this is what I was thinking, but what would make you happy? Those are going to be the follow-up questions that are going to be important.
So have that conversation with him, and let's see how it goes. And if you need more support beyond that, don't hesitate to reach out to us here at More to Life. With that, let's go to our next caller.
I think it's Alicia.
I think Alicia in Gettysburg, PA. Hey, Alicia, welcome to More to Life.
Yeah,
what's going on?
Hi, thank you. You talk a lot about, you know, facing challenges and change in your life, and that resonates with me since I'm going to be experiencing a lot of change, good change, I think, this year. I currently work part-time, and my husband and I are just learning when it's a good time for me to step back and be home with our three children. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of scary because I'm not sure what's on the horizon for me. And I've been working for 12 years. So you also talked a lot about, you know, bringing your challenges and your anxieties to prayer, to God. And I'm just curious, how do I know that it's God speaking to me in my prayer and not, you know, something that I'm feeling and thinking or somebody else said to me? How do I know that it's him?
Well, here's the thing, okay? So don't get caught up in whose voice it is. Get caught up in the direction that voice is pointing you in. So St. Ignatius of Loyola, okay, would talk about how a consolation was any movement of the spirit, which could include a feeling, a thought, an impulse, a desire, an idea, no matter who it came from or where it came from, any of those things that pointed you toward God or helped you be more the person God wants you to be, that was a consolation from the Holy Spirit. It could come from your voice. It could come from, you know, God's voice booming from the heavens. It could come from your mother-in-law. It could come from something you saw on TV. It doesn't matter. If it's pushing you in the direction that you feel leads you closer to God or closer to the person that God wants you to be, that's from the Holy Spirit, and it's God's voice speaking to you. On the other hand, if it's a desolation, in other words, a prompting of the enemy, if you're experiencing an impulse that pulls you away from God or makes it harder for you to be the person God wants you to be. In my own kind of little addition to that, I'm kind of building on the research from positive psychology and integrating that with some of Ignatius' ideas. And so when you think about what a consolation looks like, the direction of a consolation always pushes us toward meaningfulness, intimacy, and virtue. Meaningfulness is using my gifts and talents in ways that help me and others around me lead a richer life, so enable me to make a difference, right? Intimacy, You know, God always pushes me toward intimacy because he wants that communion of love, community of love, right? So what choices in front of me lead to greater intimacy? What choices in front of me lead to greater virtue, finally? Meaningfulness, intimacy, and virtue. In other words, helping me be the person that God wants me to be in the face of the stuff that life is throwing at me. So you are always hearing the voice of God, no matter what character that or tone or quality that voice takes, if it's pushing you toward meaningfulness, intimacy, or virtue. It's the voice of the enemy if it's pushing you toward powerlessness, isolation, self-pity, or self-indulgence. So that's what it doesn't matter, whose voice God is using to communicate to you. It matters the direction that voice is pushing you in. We talk more about this in my book, The Life God Wants You to Have, Discovering the Divine Plan When Human Plans Fail. Check that out at CatholicCounselors.com, along with all of our other resources, including more information about the Pastoral Solutions Institute's telephone counseling practice, where you can work with a faithful, professional Catholic counselor to help you transform your marriage, family, or personal life. Learn more at CatholicCounselors.com, and get out there and celebrate the life that you were meant to live. God bless.
You've been listening to More to Life with Dr. Greg and Lisa Popcheck. More to Life is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and is carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. Our producer is Dan McGraw. For copies of this program or for more information, visit AveMariaRadio.net.